Okay, let's go. Thank you for inviting me. All right. Today we're going to learn about a subject. There's a lot to say about this subject, but the truth is, I think I'm.
I muted you. I
Yeah,
want to mute
okay.
you from the
No
outside.
problem.
Okay.
No problem. No problem. So again, there's a lot to say about this subject. It's not a new subject, and there's a lot of writings in Judaism itself about this subject. So my idea on preparing this class was to give you a different perspective. What does it mean, a different perspective? The classical stuff, you can read it in many, many places. It's easy. You can look up Chabad.org and you will see so many things about happiness, about joy, but it's like, so to speak, quote unquote, so to speak, just that. Don't think I don't have problems. I also have problems, but so to speak, it's easy. It's an easy subject. It's easy to find information and whatever. It's an easy subject. However, again, my idea was to give a different perspective on this subject. At the end, God willing, at the end of the talk, I will very briefly, really briefly, talk about the classical way people learn about this subject, but throughout the talk, not necessarily. Why did I choose this way? Because I think it's a how to say this? It's like a more close to the sources, more close to really understanding the main focus of things. Afterwards, when you get the main focus, the main ideas, again, connected to the sources, etc., then you can apply these to other things, to problems that people have, and people don't have money, and people don't have health, and people, okay, everybody has problems. I also have problems. So, but it's not enough to say, be happy, everything is good. I'm suffering. I don't see it so good. Yeah, but the rabbi says it's good. What are you talking about? It's not good. I don't like it. So that's why I chose to give this a different, completely different way of understanding. Let's go. First of all, a few sources that come from the Torah and from different parts of the Torah. The first verse comes from Parshas Kisavai. It's a difficult verse, even though the verse itself is not so difficult, but the whole parsha is very tough. You can look it up. It's in the middle of 98 curses that God gives the Jewish people, not curses, like terrible things, like what's going to happen when the temple is going to be destroyed, when God is going to be angry at us because we do idolatry, all kinds of things that we're not supposed to do, and all of this already happened, to give you an idea, but again, you can look it up in the text. The Torah says that mothers are going to eat the children because they're going to be hungry, like crazy, crazy, crazy things. In the middle of all of that, the Torah says, aha, I'm going to tell you why. Because you didn't serve God with happiness and a good heart when you were in abundance. Maybe the best word would be abundance. I don't know. Whatever. My English is not the best. But whatever, you'll understand. So this is the only place, and I really mean it, the only place in the five books of Moses. You're going to find a clear indication of happiness and joy. It's the only place. It says the Simcha v'Tuv Lev, because you did not serve God with happiness, with joy, and good heart, then all of this happens to you. This is what the text says. We're going to analyze this in a minute. A second place from the Psalms, from the Tehillim. If there's Hashem b'simcha, you have to serve God with joy. It's a clear one, like sort of pick. And either one, that's what it says. No second understandings. And then I brought this other verse because we're going to see in a second one of the sources in the Talmud talks about this verse to give us a little bit of focus. Shleim Melech, King Solomon says, praise I the happiness. I praise this. Joy is good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I did not copy the last part of the verses. You can look it up. Google is very good on that. He knows a lot. So it's a tough verse because he sends people to just eat, drink, and be happy, whatever. But that's another problem. The point is, he says, joy is an important thing. Okay, so we have a few sources. The Torah sends us to be happy. Okay, that's fine. We don't know what it means. We don't know how to get this happiness. We don't know what the problems could be on how to get this happy. We don't know anything. We just know Torah says we have to be happy. Okay, that's fine. Let's move on. Talmud and a few commentaries. The first quote, as I explained before, comes from the Talmud, Talmud Shabbat, whatever it's found over there, you can look it up. And the Talmud says clearly, what is Shloime HaMelech talking about? What's King Solomon talking about when he says, I praise joy, happiness, whatever you want to call it? The Talmud says he's not talking about eating and drinking, like happiness, I have a lot of money, I'm so happy. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about happiness of doing a mitzvah, performing a commandment. That's what he's talking about. That's happiness. That's the happiness, the joy a person can pray, or we, whatever, can pray. Okay, point number one, we already, so to speak, left out everything else. I mean, health, money, my wife is nice, she's not nice, my husband is beautiful, he's not beautiful, whatever. I left everything out, whatever, that doesn't matter. We're just talking about happiness of performing a commandment. That's all. That's what happiness means. This is Shloime HaMelech, King Solomon. Now let's move on. Another source, the Rambam, he lived in Spain around year 1100s, 1000, 1100, whatever. He said, he's talking about Sukkot. Actually, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a few minutes. And he brings an interesting idea in connection to what the Talmud said before. I mean, the Rambam did not invent anything new. He just quotes from the Talmud and he makes the structure and he presents it in a nice way. So he writes that the happiness that a person should have when he's doing one of the commandments, one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, and the love that he should feel for God, that itself is a great service to God. That encompasses, like, that makes it a great service. You could serve God. That's one point, point number one. Or you can serve him greatly. The Rambam says, when you're happy, you're doing a good service. I like this, says God. I enjoy this. Next source. So again, the Rambam is talking about the happiness, the joy of fulfilling a specific commandment. For Jews, it's going to be 613. For non-Jews, 7 plus the ramifications. Okay, whatever the case is, just be happy with this. Okay. Next source, interesting addition to what we said before, nothing new, so to speak, different, just an addition. Rabbeinu Bechaya lived in Spain, if I'm not wrong, 1300s. He wrote a commentary on Torah, very interesting commentary, and he brings on the verse that we quoted before about because you didn't serve God, etc., etc. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that you have to be happy when observing the commandments, etc. And you know what? The happiness in itself is like a mitzvah. It's like a commandment. Again, as I explained before in the previous, I'll be back in a second to this. There's no verse in anywhere in the Torah that says it is a mitzvah to be happy. There's no such a thing. You're not going to find it. If you look at it, look for it, you're not going to find it. But what he's talking about, what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying, is not only observing the commandment is an important thing, but the happiness with which you do it, that in itself is important. To the point, he finishes, there's a reward for the commandment because you did what God said, and there's a different, he doesn't explain anything else, it just, this is what he says, there's a different reward for the happiness. When you do it with joy, you have, so to speak, a double reward. I'm not explaining because I don't know, and Rabbeinu Bechaya doesn't say it. It's not that I don't want to share it because I just don't know. He doesn't say exactly percentages and how big is the reward. I have no idea. What I'm just trying to say is, look, this is so powerful when a person does a commandment with joy that in itself has a different reward and a higher reward. That's what it brings. And then the Magid Mishnah, it's a commentary on the Rambam. I don't know the year, actually, nobody knows who's the author of this commentary. It's called the Magid Mishnah. whatever. There's no name for him. He brings the idea that the main thing here is that a person, when he does, he, she, whatever, it's the same thing, the commandments of God, don't do it because God said so, just for that. Don't do that. Rather, do them with happiness. So he's explaining a little bit more in detail what the happiness is all about. Not just happiness doesn't mean I'm happy, I'm smiling when I'm doing this. No. Happiness means you enjoy what you're doing. It is very common, and it's the nature of every single human being, that when you do something new, you're happy, you're like excited. This is something new, it's different. When you repeat the same thing over and over and over, it stops being so exciting, so to speak. Like when you got married, wow, so exciting and so nice and so... 20 years afterwards, 30 years afterwards, you know what? It's the same husband, the same wife, and everything is the same. I know this already. So it's not happiness, like joy. It's not so easy to maintain the joy so many years, whatever. So what the Maggid Mission is saying is, I know that today you'll do the same commandments you did yesterday, and yesterday, yesterday, and so on. Tomorrow is going to be the same again. So happiness means... enjoy them as if they were new. This is what he's saying, basically. So what do we have until now? We have basically two groups of sources. Sources from the text, I mean the written Torah, sources from the oral Torah that explain what is this happiness that the Torah is talking about. Because you didn't serve, again, the first one, you didn't serve God with happiness, so the service and the happiness, serve Hashem with happiness, etc. That is talking about the happiness of a mitzvah, the enjoyment, the excitement because it's something new, it's something different, even though it is not. So you should feel it as if it was a different thing. Okay, these are the sources. Now, this source in particular, it's a very interesting one to learn inside. It's not such a common source. Don't think that I know all the sources. I don't. I got this from a letter of the Rebbe, that he refers to this particular source. This is a very difficult book to learn. Sefer HaIkrim, that's what it's called. You can find it online. I don't think it's in English. I don't think anybody bothered to translate it. It was written by Yosef Albo. He lived in Spain also, the year like 1300s, around that year, late 1300s. And this Sefer HaIkrim, it's a book. The name of the book in English would be the Book of the Fundamentals. That's what the name of the book is. And he wrote a whole book, philosophy like tough. Tough books, if there are books over there. This is one of them. And he wrote the whole book arguing with the Rambam, with Maimonides. Because Maimonides says that the Torah has 13 fundamental things. And he, Yosef Albo, wants to say, Sefer HaIkrim says, no, it's just three. He's wrong. It's just three things. And again, a whole book, tough book. Within all the book, he brings one chapter about simcha, about happiness, joy in the service of God. I didn't copy the whole thing. It would take a long time just to learn the whole thing, even though it's not so long, but it would take a long time. So I just wrote a few ideas of what he writes. You can find it over there in the third, he has parts, third part, chapter 33. You can look it up, it's in Sfaria, and Google can help you to translate it. It's not a difficult text, but it's too long for one class. So he says like this, what's this happiness? What's this joy all about? Why do you need this? Like, okay, I understood that the joy is not because I have a lot of money. No, that's not joy. That's another thing. We're going to talk about this later. Joy is because I can fulfill a commandment. I can do what God wants from me. That's joy. Okay, we got that. Nobody argues because the Talmud says that, etc., etc. But why is it so important? To the point that David HaMelech said, King David said, if there's Hashem b'simcha, you have to serve God with happiness. Why is it so important? So he says like this. The main idea is what I wrote in big words. Happiness, joy brings fullness to the commandment. You can do it, and it's okay. But if you do it with joy, Now I like it, says God. Now I really like it. Why? He brings like this. Again, just a few points. I just translated it, very few points. When you do something in action with joy, we call this virtue. This is nice. I like it. You can do the same thing without the joy. This is called a defectuous thing. You're not doing it right, even though you're actually doing it, but it's not complete. It's not complete. It's not right. Now, going back, he has a whole argument, a very interesting thing, how to prove this idea. Why do I say that happiness brings fulfillment, brings completeness to the observance? He says like this. Let's go back to the first verse. Again, all kinds of terrible things that will happen to the Jewish people if we don't behave properly. And in the middle of all the 98 terrible things, the Torah says, you know why this happens? Because you didn't serve me with joy. Now he asks, wait a second. Could Hashem punish a person for not serving with joy? Like, I ask you to do a job, and you go do a job, but you do it like, you know, with sadness, like this, with a terrible face. Should I punish you? Like, you did the thing. You did what I just asked you to do. Why should I punish you? If you didn't do it, okay, let's say there's a punishment. Okay, we got it. But if you do it, why is there a punishment? Because you were sad. He says it makes no sense. Because, and he brings a very interesting idea. If the commandment done with sadness, I mean, without joy, it's really something punishable. So if I'm not happy today, let's say I woke up today sad, for whatever reason, my chocolate wasn't there, I don't care, whatever. So today, because I'm sad, I should not fulfill the commandments. That's it. I should go back to bed. Don't do anything. Don't pray today. Don't whatever. For Jews, don't put on tefillin. Don't do anything because I'm sad. Otherwise, if I do it and I'm sad, God is going to punish me. Oy vey. I don't want punishment. I'm going to sleep again. Maybe I wake up better. No. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make sense. So he says, you know what joy is? Joy is, again, completement, fulfillment to observance. It's just like a plus, but without that plus, observance is not the same thing. It's not really nice. And then he asks a different question. This is like philosophy, again. The whole book is like this. He goes into a different question. The main thing is to serve God with fear. He says that, and he has a whole chapter before this chapter on Simcha, on happiness, on joy. He has a whole chapter on fear. Fear God, whatever the level of fear of God. I'm not going into the details now. But he says, clearly it's the main thing. And you know what? Furthermore, there's a mitzvah, one of the commandments, 613 commandments for Jews, and one of the commandments for non-Jews, even though it's not one of the seven, but one of the commandments for Jews, for non-Jews also is to fear God. The Talmud says this clearly in Sanhedrin. Clearly, non-Jews should also fear God. There's no commandment of being happy. There's no commandment of being happy. But there's a commandment of fearing God. So why are you saying me that what really brings completeness to observance is joy? That's not true. Fear is what brings completeness to commandments. That's what he wants to argue. And then he goes the other way around. First he explains like this. If a person fears things he should not fear, like, for instance, a sick person, I fear leaving my house. I fear walking on the street. I'm afraid of dogs, whatever. Should you really be afraid of dogs? What are you talking about? Just a dog. What's the problem? If a person fears something he should not be fearing, or if a person does not fear what he should really fear, then you're spiritually sick. Like, your head is wrong. You're afraid of a dog, and you're not afraid of, whatever, a soldier that comes with a gun. Oops, I don't like this. So why are you afraid of a dog and not of a guy with a gun? It doesn't make sense. You're sick. But, on the other hand, when a person fears Hashem, which is all-powerful, etc., etc., you will rejoice, this is happiness, in the fact that you are full in your service to God. In other words, look at the last paragraph. He's saying the same thing, but just in different words. When a person understands the greatness of Hashem, how do you understand the greatness of God? When you think about Him, you understand the creation around you, and you know that there's a Creator, and the Creator is greater than the creation, and He's infinite, whatever. You can think hours and hours of the greatness of God. When you really, it doesn't mean to understand God. It's impossible. That's impossible. You understand the greatness of God, the world around you, etc., etc., you will fear God, because you will recognize how low you are. Did you create a world? I didn't. Okay, so at least on that sense, you're lower than God. Okay? Yes. All right. Now, when you recognize your own lowliness, how small you are in front of God, then you will rejoice in the fear of God. Why? Because you distinguish that which you should really fear. Now I understand I should not fear dogs. I shouldn't fear guns. The only thing to fear is God. You got it. Because He is really big. Anything else is just created by Him, and it's nothing in front of Him. So the only thing to be fearful of is God. And now you will be happy because your mind works properly. So where does the happiness come from? From fearing God. It's like a real, like, intellectual craziness, so to speak. I know it sounds a little bit crazy, but this is what it says. Your happiness comes from the fact that your mind works properly because you got it. I should fear God. Nothing else. This is what it brings on the idea of where does this happiness, the joy, come from. Because again, on the sources before, we learned, okay, you should be happy, nice, the Torah says that. And then we said, you should be happy because you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Very nice. How do I get there? And again, the main thing is to be fearful of God. And that's the mitzvah, not to be happy. So how do I get happy? By being fearful of God. By understanding who God is. Think about Him. Between parentheses, interestingly, I didn't copy it here because it's not the main issue, but the Rambam also talks about this in the Laws of Fundamentals of Torah, in the first two chapters. The Rambam talks about loving God and fearing God. And he brings the idea of that when a person, basically the same idea that he's bringing over here, when a person thinks about God and thinks about the greatness of the creation, etc., etc., and therefore the greatness of the Creator, automatically you will love God and you will fear God. This is what the Rambam says with these words. Both things, both feelings you will get. So basically it's the same idea. It's the same logic that brings you to fear and to love, understanding the greatness of God. Okay, now we understood how to get to fear. Let's move on to another detail, another step on this, like a ladder, understanding how to be happy. This comes from the Baal Shem Tov. I have over there, you have over here the source, Tava Sarivash. Tava in Hebrew means, I don't remember the exact word, but when a person before passing away writes a whole thing that he's expecting his children or somebody else to actually do that. I forgot the name in English. Whatever, that's a Tava. Testament, I think it's called. Okay. And Rivash is Rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism, he did not write anything. He just spoke. But his students wrote most of the things that he spoke about, etc., etc. This is one of the teachings that the Baal Shem Tov brings. This teaching doesn't talk about directly about simcha, about happiness, but it talks about what happens when you don't have happiness. The exact opposite to happiness is depression. It's like two extremes, so to speak. And when you're depressed, I'll read the text in a few minutes. When you're depressed, what happens is that you don't want to serve God. Because you realize maybe you did something wrong. That's what he writes over here. When a person transgresses a great prohibition and he thinks it's what's really so bad, you know, or when you, whatever, it wasn't so bad, or when it was actually bad, and there comes the Yetzer Hara, the bad inclination, the evil inclination, and tells you, you know what, you shouldn't be serving God. Because you're not good. You're nothing. Look at what you do. Look at your actions. God said not to do this, and you did it anyway. Whatever the case is, doesn't really matter. So the whole objective of the Yetzer Hara, of the bad inclination, is to depress you in order not to be happy. Why? Because that way you're not going to serve God anymore. And over here, even though I didn't write it, it's a whole long and deep thing in Judaism, the difference between depression and bitterness. It's like two different worlds. When a person is depressed, that means you're good for nothing. And nothing good ever is going to come out of you. Forget it. That's depression. It doesn't matter what you do, because anyway, you're bad. Bitterness means I'm a good guy, but I acted wrong. I did something I was not supposed to do. That's true. But that doesn't mean that I'm bad. That's bitterness, to be bitter because you acted wrong. So the Baal Shem Tov in this teaching is saying, look, being happy is a very important thing. Why? Because by being happy, you will be able to serve God. If you're depressed, you can't serve God. Now, what's the happiness all about in the second paragraph? The happiness is by understanding that whatever you do in your service to God is not for you. It's not for your benefit. Like, I'm not serving God because I want money. I'm not serving God because I want health, healthiness, or whatever you want. Doesn't matter. I'm serving God just to bring Him satisfaction. Because He is happy by me serving Him. Of course, you could ask, what does it mean? By just a small thing like me can create happiness in God? Yes, this is what He wants. And this is what He revealed to us through the prophets or whatever, the tzaddikim, the righteous people. It doesn't matter the details, but the point is that He is happy, He's satisfied when we serve Him. And again, going back a little bit, your service is only going to be complete when you're happy. So God is going to be happy when you are happy. When you're serving Him, it's happiness. It's going to be a complete service. That means He's going to be happy. And again, the extreme on the other side is, yeah, but I know I did the wrong things. The answer to that is, it doesn't prevent you from being happy. On the contrary, the fact that you did wrong things, and now you're feeling so bad because you did wrong things, and you entertain the idea of not continuing serving God because you know you did wrong things, that's Yetzer Hara. That comes from the evil inclination. That's one of the tools it has to, again, prevent you from serving God. So not only you're not going to serve God with happiness, you're not going to serve God. That's it. So that's the best that the bad inclination can do on you. It won the war, so to speak. So again, it's in Hasidic teachings, it's a very like fundamental thing, the idea of joy, but again, joy of fulfilling a commandment, not any kind of joy. Any kind of joy. Interestingly to note, the Arizal, another of the great of the Jewish people, Jewish sages, he was a big Mekubal, big Kabbalist in Sfas, year 1500s. He didn't write anything either, like Baal Shem Tov, but his students wrote for him. And there's a text that says about him that he said that the reason why he got all the spiritual levels and visions and ideas that he actually taught was because he was happy when fulfilling commandments, mitzvahs. Simcha shel mitzvah. That's what caused him to be who he was. And we're talking about one of the greatest in our history. Okay, so again, just a very, very short summary. Sources in the Torah, sources in our sages. You have to be happy, happiness of mitzvah, okay? And that brings completeness to your mitzvah, to your service of God, great. And be careful. Even if you did wrong, don't think you should stop being happy on your mitzvah. Don't ever think that. You just continue and do your best. Now, let's go a little bit deeper. The picture I put over here, actually, the drawing, whatever, there are no pictures of the temple. This drawing is from it's a scene on the festival of Sukkot. It actually is coming in a short time. One of the things done in Sukkot was Nisu Hamayim, that's what it's called in Hebrew, pouring water on the altar. This is the altar in the temple. These are Koyanim, priests. And this guy over here, it's kind of small, but whatever, believe me. He's pouring water on the altar. Like you see a little thing, black, a white thing over here. He's pouring water on the altar. And there's a verse on Ishaya. It's over here. Ushafte mayim besotzim yimane Yeshua. You will draw water with joy. It was one of the most joyful things in the whole year, so to speak, on the Judaism, in the temple, etc., etc. One of the most joyful things was to draw in the morning the water that was to be drawn on the throne, whatever you say, on the altar. Now, our sages say, look down here in the Talmud, whomever did not see the joy of drawing the water on Sukkot, you don't know what joy is about. You never saw joy. You don't know what happiness is about. So we see clearly, our sages say, you know what happiness is? Drawing water from a river, whatever, from a spring, and putting it in the water, in the altar. Of course, this has to be understood. It doesn't look like a very joyful thing. Just whatever, pour water, try it in your house. It doesn't produce a lot of simcha, a lot of joy. So we have to understand what it's all about. In order to understand this, look at here in the middle. We have to know that every single day in the temple, there was wine poured on the altar together with certain sacrifices. Of course, I'm not going to explain the sacrifices right now. It's not the point of the class. But the point is, wine was poured every single day. In Sukkot, in that particular festival, also water was poured on the altar. And that's what brought joy to the whole, for the whole year. Now, we have to understand this. What's the difference between wine and water? Our sages in Hasidic thought explain like this. Wine has taste. Better, worse, it doesn't matter. I don't like wine anymore. And anyway, but it has a taste. And people like it, and of course brings joy. If you drink enough, you're going to be happy. It represents understanding. When you understand something, the real happiness in the life of a person is understanding. It's not eating, it's not whatever. It's a different subject, but real happiness, real joy is understanding. Wine represents understanding. You drink it and you're happy. You understand something and you're happy. Actually, there's a story in the Talmud about Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu was the guy that learned and knew everything. And he wasn't happy. He was actually sad because there was nothing new, you know. When you learn something new, you're happy. So once it happened that he found a new teaching, and his face like shone because he was so happy. So we learn, we understand that learning and understanding brings happiness. Imagine you're in a class of whatever subject it is, doesn't matter, and you don't understand. You just don't understand. This guy is talking and talking and talking. Everybody's doing like this with the head. Yeah, very interesting. You don't get a word. It doesn't, of course, it doesn't produce happiness. It produces a lot of anguish. Like, what's going on? I'm the only fool over here. Everybody's understanding. What's going on over here? You really feel bad. So on the other hand, understanding brings joy. That's wine. That's what wine represents. Water, of course, has no taste. It doesn't represent understanding. It represents complete irrational things. And of course, the question would be, how come water can generate joy? I can understand wine. Okay, I got it. I understand things, or I drink the wine, whatever, and you got happy. But water, you can drink water the whole day, you're not going to be drunk out of water. Impossible. So how does it come that generates joy? So Hasidic teachings teach like this. When you understand things and you enjoy and you're happy because you understand, your happiness is directly related to how much you understand. The more you understand, the more happy you're going to be. The less you understand, the less happy you're going to be, of course, like simple mathematics. So the end point is that your happiness is measured according to your intellect. Going back to the wine, very simple. If you drink, most of people, one cup of wine, most of the times you're not going to be drunk. One cup of wine, no problem. If you drink one bottle of wine, two bottles of wine, three bottles of wine, okay, you're going to be drunk. Natural. Okay, the same thing happens with intellect. How, quote unquote, drunk are you going to be? The more wine you drink, the more drunk you're going to be. So how happy are you going to be? The more you understand, the happiest you're going to be. But has a limit. Water, because it's such a deep thing, it doesn't produce any taste. The happiness of water, or represented by water, better said, it's unlimited. It's infinite. Because the happiness of water is, I'm not here, I'm not drunk, quote unquote, I'm just connecting to God. That's my happiness. Going back to mitzvahs and all the things that we explained before, my happiness is that God is happy with me. It's not mine. It doesn't depend on how much I understand. How many pages of many books did you learn? Maybe I didn't learn anything. I just know that happy God is happy with me. That's it. That's why I put over here this psalm, David HaMelech. He says, Sameach nefesh abdecha, is asking God, you rejoice me, my soul, he's asking God, why should you, God, make me happy? Because I'm going to lift up my soul. I'm going to give up my soul to you. I'm giving up myself to you. And therefore, make me happy. So again, my happiness is not, look at the last two sentences over here, if, like, applied in a very practical way. If my joy is limited to my achievements, I have money, I have 5 PhDs from University of I don't know where, and I have this, and I have that, and I have blah, blah, blah. If that's your joy, okay, you know what? I have bad news for you. You only have 5 PhDs. You don't have 6. You don't have 7. You don't have 9, 10, whatever. I'm sorry. But I didn't have time to learn. I'm sorry. There are people that learn more than you. You know what? You're lacking. Even though you have a lot, you're lacking. So, and you're always going to be lacking something. I have bad news also. Always. That's the system. The only one that doesn't lack anything is God. Are you God? I'm not. So I'm lacking. That's the rule. There's no way of going out of that. So on the other hand, if your joy is not on personal achievement, forget it. Doesn't matter what I have or what I don't. But I'm just able to fulfill Hashem's will. I can do a mitzvah. And that I can, for sure, I can do that. I can do 2,000 mitzvahs. Yes, you're right. It doesn't matter how many. God gave me the opportunity of fulfilling His will, of being His servant. Whatever you do, it doesn't really matter. You're just happy because you're His servant. That's true happiness, and it's not measured by your accomplishments, by your achievements. It doesn't really matter. You can be the fullest of the fullest, but you're God's servant, you're in. No problem. You can be happy on that. Because God is happy with you, therefore, it doesn't really matter what you do. To the point, there's a saying by the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe founded the Chabad movement. There's a saying, I'm just going to explain the context of the saying. People sometimes say that it's interesting, at least interesting, to be a Jew. Because we have lots of commandments, you know, mitzvot, 613 and whatever, the command, the positive commandments, negative commandments, and they do this and they do that. And you know, in Rosh Hashanah, they blow the shofar, and then in Yom Kippur, they fast, and then they do this and that. Wow, this looks very nice. It's interesting. It's like colorful, and it's so nice. And Alter Rebbe used to say, having said that, if God would have just given us one mitzvah, one commandment, and the commandment would be, go chop wood to the woods. Like, go destroy the whole Amazon, whatever, Amazonia. Go just chop wood. That's Yiddishkeit, that's Judaism. We would do it with simcha, with happiness. This is what Alter Rebbe used to say. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do. If the commandment is to just to go chop wood, okay, this is what God is happy with, no problem, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it happy, because God is happy with me. That's true joy. That's true joy. Now, having said that, of course, not everybody is like very happy. It's difficult. And there are many, many reasons. Again, in this particular class, I'm taking a different path than the regular one. The regular path is, you know what? I have so many problems. The rabbi is talking that I should be happy, very happy. I don't have money to pay the bills. I have family that is very sick in hospital and suffering. And you tell me to be happy? What are you talking about? That's the regular path people take when explaining happiness and joy in Judaism. And we're going to talk about this like very briefly later. I'm taking a different path. Why is people not happy? Like, sounds quite simple. Whatever you do, be conscious that God is happy with you and you're happy. That's it. Sounds simple. But it doesn't happen. Why? Because of this. Koyeles, Shlomo Melech, King Solomon wrote, God made men upright, like straight. And they, men, whatever, thought out many calculations. Like, you're all the time thinking and thinking different things. The natural tendency of a human being, and you can see this with children, like we grown-ups, you know, have all kinds of problems, whatever they are. The children don't have any problems. They're always happy. Everything is fine. Everything is happiness. They get a candy, they're happy. They get whatever, they're just playing, they're happy. It's natural to them to be happy because the human being was created by God to be naturally happy. But the problem is that we have quote-unquote problems. I should have this, I should have that. I should know this, I should know that. Why is my neighbor, as they say in English, the grass of the neighbor is greener than mine? Why is that? I want my grass greener. That's your problem. Like, it's not the true essence of a human being. The true essence of a human being has all the tools to be happy because God, the Lord, whatever, made man upright, righteous, simple, straight. You can be happy. But we want other things. We want other things. These strange things that we want and the interesting interests that we have that are different from what God is expecting from us, that's what confuses us and prevents us from being happy. And that's what leads us into depression. Why is my neighbor so rich? I know he has in the bank account $1,000,000, whatever. And I don't have. Why? Why? Those things, those questions, those ideas is what actually causes depression, is what actually prevents you from being happy. Not that you can't. What I'm trying to say with this slide is any human being by nature can be happy. I'm not happy? Okay, you're thinking wrong. That's why you're not happy. You're adding a whole layer of thinking into your regular daily life that prevents you from being happy. You have too many complaints on God, so to speak, that prevents you from being happy. You're expecting things that maybe you shouldn't be expecting. That's why you're not happy. Now, how do you solve this problem? The picture should be enough. Actually, it should say everything. But let's talk about it. There's a famous, very famous word in so many Hasidic discourses. I wouldn't say it's found in every single one, but it's so common. The word in Hebrew, it's bitul. Bitul means nullification, this word over here, nullification. The way to get real joy is to be nullified to God. Nullified to God. And this is not something that Hasidus, the Hasidic thought, like made up or came up with because we're sort of smart. No, no, no. This is actually a verse. Isaiah says that the humble, you can look it up, in Isaiah over there, chapter 29, the verse 19, the humble shall add joy to Hashem. Wait a second. What does it mean to be humble? If you actually understand what humbleness means, humility, whatever, a person with humbleness is like quiet, calm, detached of himself, he doesn't look like a very happy person. A happy person looks like somebody that's dancing, that's smiling the whole time. That's a happy person. That everybody identifies as a happy person. But me, you know, I'm sitting over here. I don't know. Are you really happy? Happiness is whatever, expansion, feeling, excitement. The truth is that the humble person is happy, and the person that looks happy maybe is not so happy. Why? Because the humble person recognizes that the truth is that anything you have in emotional powers, in intellectual powers, in possessions, physical things, they don't really belong to you. They're not really yours. They have been given by God to you. For whatever reason God gave this to you, I don't know. That's God's problem. I'm not getting into him. He has to solve his problems, not mine. But whatever. Whatever you have, it's not really yours. You did not earn this. It's really God's given. And there's a story by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's one explanation. There are others. The Torah says in Parshas Baloischa, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, he was the most humble person from the whole people in earth. Why was he so humble? Like, he spoke face to face with God. Whenever he had a question, he just, you know, send a WhatsApp to God and he answers you. Try it, I don't know. He answers you. Moshe Rabbeinu, he answered. He was incredible guy. He spoke to God, took the Jewish people out of Egypt, made miracles in the desert. Amazing. Why was he humble? What was his humbleness, actually? The Hasidic explanation to this is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that anything that he accomplished actually was not his. And furthermore, anyone else with the same capacities would have reached even further. That's the way he thought about himself. And that generated in such a great guy, incredible person, humbleness. Because again, am I using my powers fully? Really? Am I really using my intellect to learn Torah? Am I really using my heart to love whatever God, to fear God, to love my fellow, whatever the case is? Am I really doing my best? Am I really understanding the capacities I have and applying them fully? Yes or no? That's a question everybody has to ask himself, herself, whatever. It's the same thing. So when you really realize the truth, again, that whatever you have, spiritually speaking and materially speaking, is not really yours, it came from above, then you're really going to be happy. Because it doesn't really matter what you have. More or less, it doesn't really matter. Whatever God gave you, that's what you're supposed to work with. Enjoy. Go work. I want more. Ah, we're going back. That's the problem. You want more? Yeah. I want to be smart as that guy. Yeah, okay. For whatever reason, God didn't give you this to you. I don't know why. So why are you looking for things you're not supposed to be having? That's the problem where you cannot be happy. Not because you can't be happy. If you just stick to what you are and you understand what you are and your capacities, of course, if you think you can more, go and do more. Of course, try to always grow and develop yourself, etc., etc. But understand that whatever you reach is God's given. Some kind of saying. Judaism is not about reaching anything. Forget it. Who cares about reaching? Judaism is just to be on the race. If you are participating on the race, you're fine. At the moment you think, I reached, that's it. You're out. You're never going to reach anything. What do you mean? I learned a lot of Torah. What does that mean? That you're not going to learn anymore? What do you think? What are you talking about? Tomorrow you have to learn more. Yeah, but I learned a lot. Yes, you have to continue. Until God gives you the possibility, you have to continue. Yeah, but I learned this already. So learning again, deeper. So again, the true tool, so to speak, to And joy and to be happy is humility, humbleness, lowliness, smallness, etc. Now, how does this actually have an effect in your life? The Hasidic masters say in Chabad, Simcha poided together. The happiness is able to break all barriers that a person might have in life. And all barriers means all kinds of barriers. Of course, in the service of God. If I don't have money to buy a new Ferrari, okay, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be happy, I'm going to smile the whole day, and suddenly I'm going to have money to buy a Ferrari. No, not going to happen. Forget it. Why? Because that's not part of my service to God. But my neighbor has a Ferrari, and I want also one. Yes, for him, for whatever reason, God decided that his service to him, to God, goes around having this type of car. To me, no. But I want one. Oh, go back. What's the problem? My calculations. I want one. Okay. God, for some reason, decided that you don't need this to serve him. Again, the key word is, you don't need this to serve God. Therefore, you're not going to have it. Never. Probably you're never going to have it. Because you're never going to need it. And if at some point in time, you suddenly need it, for whatever reason, to serve God, I can assure you, you're going to have it. Definitely. Because if you need it to serve God, God is going to give it to you. But don't fool yourself. For instance, I'm a regular guy. I live in Argentina. Buenos Aires is a regular city. I don't need a Ferrari. I wouldn't have where to put it, you know? I don't have a place to store my car. So I don't need a Ferrari. And there's some streets in Buenos Aires, you know, go up and down, up and down. It's going to break. It's not prepared for this kind of city. I don't need one. Yeah, but I think that I really need one. And my service to God is going to be much better if I have one. You might think that, but it's not true. Objectively speaking, it's not true. Oh, but I want one. Yeah, that's your problem. But it's not true. So you're not going to have it. So if you're sad because you don't have it, you're a fool. You're a fool. You're fooling yourself. Not God. You're fooling yourself. Okay. Joy breaks all barriers. All barriers that stand between you and God. And service of God. Some barriers are imposed by yourself. You think you can't. You think you need a Ferrari or whatever. It's just an example, etc. Some barriers are imposed by the environment where you actually move, live, etc., your family, your friends, etc. Why don't you go on the 25th of December to our party? You used to come to our party. I don't go anymore. Yeah, you're a weird guy. Okay, so you get pressure, peer pressure, and it's difficult. And that's a barrier that it's between you and God. So when you're happy with what you have, I mean, I don't go anymore to parties on 25th of December, whatever, etc. I don't do it anymore, and I'm happy with that. So people around you are going to look at you and say, but don't you need to go, like, to be happy? No, I'm happy with what I have. And I'm very happy I'm not going. So suddenly, like, those barriers are going to just break by themselves. And between parentheses, just a very small point, since we're talking about this, and if an idea just came to my mind, I should share it. this works perfectly in chinuch, in education. You know, if your children see that you're happy with what you're doing, like, for instance, the service of God, whatever, prayer, if your children see that you're happy with this, they're going to follow. If they see that you're suffering this, oh, I have to go pray now. I'm so tired, I better go sleep, but I have to go pray, you know, I believe in God. Oh, this God is asking me to do this and that, and he's happy when I do this and that. Okay, forget it, they're never going to follow you because they see that you're suffering this. You don't enjoy this. Whatever, those are barriers that a person has. Happiness, joy, breaks all the barriers. Now, last piece, the last part, is what I said that I was not going to say, that I would say at the end. This is the regular, what I'm going to share now is the regular focus that people give when giving a class on joy. Joy in Judaism, etc., etc. And the regular class, so to speak, on that goes around two stories. Story by Rabbi Akiva and a story of Nachum Ish Gamz. These two stories that I'm going to say are like so famous, so everywhere, everybody heard about these stories. I assume you know these stories, so I'm just going to be very brief on the stories, because I'm just going to, I just want to bring out the point that I'm not a fool. I know people suffer. I know there are difficulties in life. I know. I also experience them. Don't think I live in Gan Eden. I don't live in Gan Eden, in paradise. I also have my problems. And, of course, there are tools that Judaism gives to, so to speak, live with these problems. But the main thing that I wanted to share is what I said before. Like, joy means being conscious that you are able to give God joy, because this is what He wants. And by you just fulfilling your commandments, your mitzvahs, in the best way you can with happiness, that's real happiness. That's the happiness of God, not your happiness. God's happiness, like I said before, from David HaMelech, King David, you, God, rejoice me, because I'm just going to give my soul to you. Okay, now, what about the problems? The problems, I'm not going to give you solutions to the problems. If a person is sick, I'm sorry, I'm not a doctor. Go ask a doctor. I'm not going to solve that problem, but just some tools. Actually, the truth is that Nachum Ish Gamzu, he was a teacher of Rabbi Akiva. I should have put them in a different order, but I chose this order, like the teacher goes first and the student goes afterwards, but I chose this particular order because the story of Rabbi Akiva means one level of understanding problems in life, and the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, it's a different level, it's a deeper level. That's why I put in this order. Let's go to the first one. Again, famous story. Rabbi Akiva went on a trip, and he took with him a rooster, a donkey, and a camel. The rooster to wake him up in the morning early, the donkey to carry the books and stuff, and the candle to lit in the night, to have light, to learn Torah. And he came to a place, it was getting dark, he wanted to sleep somewhere, and nobody had room for him. Nobody had room, so he ended up going out of the town, by the road, a little bit far from the road, and he just sat there, with his rooster and the donkey. So one animal came and ate the donkey, and Rabbi Akiva said, "Whoa." In Aramaic, "Kol di'avid rachman le'tavavid," everything that God does is for good. And then came another, a different animal came, ate the rooster. Whoop. Everything that God does is for the good. And then a wind came and blew out the candle. Everything that God does is for the good. Suddenly he saw that it was like smoke coming out of the town. He was really close to the town, but outside. And the people were walking in the road, being captives by some group of whatever, crazy people. So then he understood, if I had the donkey or the rooster, they would make noise, and they would have discovered me. If I had the candle light, they would have discovered me. If I was in the town, of course, I would have been taken captive also. So now I understand that the thing, the bad things, quote, quote, that God did for me, were actually good. Were actually good. That's one story. What's the quote-unquote problem with the story? The problem is, again, the quote, it's not a problem, it's just, what's the catch of the story? At the moment that the bad thing happened to Rabbi Akiva, it was a bad thing. An animal came and ate my donkey. I don't have a donkey anymore. It's a problem. Somehow, in the future, I will realize that this is good. For some reason, I don't know. But right now, I'm living a problem. That's Rabbi Akiva. Nachum Ish Gamzu, a previous generation to Rabbi Akiva. Why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? The true name of his true name was Nachum. Nachum is a name. Ish Gamzu means the man. Ish means the man. Gamzu also, because the whole time he was repeating Gamzu Letoiva, Gamzu Letoiva. This is also good. This is also good. Whatever happened to him, he used to say Gamzu Letoiva. This is also good. There's a story about him. It's a long story. I'm just going to cut up the story very shortly. The story is that the Jews had to give a present to the Roman emperor. Nobody wanted to go because it's dangerous, etc., etc. So they sent Nachum Ish Gamzu with a whole thing full of pearls and, you know, stones and whatever, nice things. And he was in the ship, not getting apart from his treasure, so to speak. And the people around him saw this guy doesn't separate from his thing. He certainly has something over there. Okay, they stole him. They put sand inside so he wouldn't realize. And when he opened it, he saw that there were no more stones, no more precious stones, just sand. And he said, "Gamzu le'Taiva." Okay, all the time. It's a long story, okay? So they came to the Roman emperor. The present from the Jews to the Roman emperor arrived. So they opened it, of course, full of sand. And the emperor was so angry. "Don't I have enough sand in Rome that I need sand from Eretz Israel, from the land of Israel? I have to kill this guy." And Nachum Ish Gamzu said, "Gamzu le'Taiva, I don't know, this is also good." For whatever reason. And the story is that Prophet Eliyahu appeared in the court of the Roman emperor, and he said, my master, whatever, my emperor, this sand, I think it's a special sand." "What do you mean?" "This is the sand that was used when Avram fought with the kings in Parshat Lech Lecha. You throw this sand on the air and it just becomes arrows and kills the enemy." This is what he said. And the Roman emperor looked and said, "Okay, let's give it a try." And Nachum Ish Gamzu said, "Hey, this Gamzu le'Taiva, this is good, let's give it a try." So they threw it in the air and it became arrows. "You see, my emperor." So the emperor said, "Wow, this is a good gift. I like this." And the Talmud says, interestingly, that they used this sand to conquer some part of France. The Romans, you know, France, Gallia. They couldn't conquer it. There was no way to conquer it. And they conquered it with this sand. That became arrows, whatever. That's the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. In this story, what's the difference between this story and the previous one? Nachum Ish Gamzu, whatever he was living at that moment, that itself was good. It's not that in the future I will see how this is good. No, no, no. Right now, I feel this is so good. Thank you, God, for what you're giving me. And he's happy. So these are just two ways of understanding problems in life. Am I sitting here telling you that there are no problems in life? I wish. No, that's not what I'm doing. No, don't misunderstand. I understand people suffer. I also have my problems, etc., etc. But at least we can somehow understand that even the suffering is somewhat, for some reason, good. Either in the future you will see how this is good, or right now you're in the level of Nachum Ish Gamzu. I don't know who is in that level, whatever. In the level 2 of understanding that this is also good. So, this is about joy. What did we see? Let's go back quickly. Biblical sources, joy is something that is written in the Torah, but it doesn't seem to be a commandment. Like, God is not telling you, you go and do and be happy the way he tells us, go and fear me, go and do this and that, etc., etc. Our sages circumscribe this joy to fulfilling commandments. That's what brings joy to a person. Why? Because that brings completeness to what you're doing, to your service to God. That's why you should be happy. And if you're not happy, your service is not really complete. We know that the opposite of this completeness is depression that takes you to absolute stop serving God. So you should be careful with that. And even when you do wrong things, everybody makes a mistake sometimes in life, take it easy, don't depress. Know that you should continue serving God and you should improve on the happiness. Now, then we learned about water and wine. True happiness is to give yourself up to God. The problem is when you think you should have or be different, and your nullification, your again giving yourself up to God, that's what's going to allow you to feel God's happiness in your life, and that's going to break all the barriers from you, from your environment, etc., and just two ideas, two tools, so to speak, on how to deal with suffering. Yes, there is suffering in the world, but you have to be conscious of what you can do about it, improve yourself, work on yourself. I know there are people suffering hunger in Africa and some suffering in China. I know that. But you know what? I don't live in Africa. I'm very far from there. I don't live in China. There's nothing I can do with that. But I can work on myself. That I can do. Oh, yes. And if I put as an excuse people dying of hunger, and that's just an excuse not to work on myself. You have to be careful and don't fool yourself. Whatever you can do, oh, yes. The fact that you can do it, it's a demonstration that you have to do it because you have the power of doing it. So go and do that. Oh, but people are suffering. Okay, let God manage his world. Let's suppose, quote unquote, he knows what he's doing. I don't know. Let's suppose he knows what he's doing. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of your environment. Improve yourself. That for sure you can do. Don't put sufferings of yourself or of somebody else as an excuse. Okay.